This morning, President Trump, back in the U.S. from his summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, tweeted, "Everyone can now feel much safer than the day I took office. There is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea." But while applauding the meeting, even some ardent Trump supporters are worried that there are no details, that Trump blindsided allies and gave up too much with off-the-cuff remarks. The state-owned press in North Korea isn't even mentioning denuclearization, but is crowing about Trump's suspension of military exercises with the South.
Here in the U.S., South Carolina Congressman and Trump critic Mark Sanford is now the second House Republican to lose a primary this season. Last night, in her victory speech, his opponent Katie Arrington told supporters, "We are the party of President Donald J. Trump." Let's bring in our political strategist. Today, it's Jamal Simmons, Democratic strategist. Hi, Jamal.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. And Alice Stewart, a Republican strategist. Hi, Alice.
Hi, Jeremy and Robin. How are you?
Good.
Good. And Jamal, let me start with you. The North Korea summit. Do you think the president should be congratulated for making this summit happen?
I wanted to make a joke about feeling safer, but this isn't really the time for jokes. I think the president went to South Korea and really, frankly, was an easy first date. He kind of gave away a lot to the North Koreans before really getting anything in return that was verifiable or any way that we could check it. And he's left for the Democrats a wide open lane to sort of adopt the party of Reagan lines about trusting but verifying first. The president was so effusive about the leader of North Korea that he really opened himself up to any criticism if this thing doesn't work out, which history would say it won't.
It won't. Well, Alice Stewart, how about that? In a week where Trump bashed allies like Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and hit them with tariffs, he praised Kim Jong-un, a brutal dictator. Let's listen.
Well, he is very talented. Anybody that takes over a situation like he did at 26 years of age and is able to run it and run it tough. I don't say he was nice or I don't say anything about it. He ran it. Very few people at that age, you can take one out of 10,000 probably couldn't do it.
Boy, Alice, I mean, people are having a field day with that. You know, you can do it if you jail people and put them in gulags and murder people. That's one way that Kim Jong-un is doing it at that age. Look, Fox News is celebrating this meeting, but even ardent Republicans, backers of Trump, have been hesitant. What would you advise them?
I would advise them to let's be cautiously optimistic and emphasis on the caution. And look, I would never use the word talented to describe a brutal dictator. However, this is President Trump, and this is his way of beginning the negotiating process. And if the goal overall for the United States and the world is the complete denuclearization of North Korea and the Korean Peninsula, then Kim Jong-un holds the key to that. And in order for us to achieve that goal, we have to get through to him and we have to work with him. And the key is taking that first step. I commend the president for taking this first step, but we have a long way to go. And I do think Secretary Pompeo has a lot of work ahead of him in regard to making sure that our definition of denuclearization is the same as theirs. And he has been adamant on the three key components for that to be successful is complete, verifiable, and irreversible. And unless we have that, we have no deal. And I think the president should completely walk away.
Robin and Jeremy, I do have to say, it is incredibly rich for me, though, to watch President Trump and the people who support President Trump and his position here to show so much openness and willingness to compromise and find a way out of this. When President Obama did this with Iran, you would have thought that he had gone to Iran and offered them the, you know, crown jewels of the United States. He didn't. And I think we just have to be cautious about how much Republicans are falling in line over this when it's clear North Korea may be setting us up for a trap.
Well, and I have to say that if it were President Obama doing this meeting with Kim, I can't imagine that Donald Trump would not be attacking Obama for doing exactly what he did.
He did when he said, once I'd meet with anybody. Obama said, I'd meet with anybody if I thought I could get peace, and he was attacked.
Sure, and he said he would do so without preconditions, which is virtually what the president Trump has done. But that being said, we're in a different time, and let's just say we will all wait, as the president says, We'll see what happens.
Okay. There were primaries in five states yesterday. And in South Carolina, voters told conservative Republican Congressman and former Governor Mark Sanford, who is, of course, famous for saying he was hiking the Appalachian Trail when, in fact, he was meeting his mistress in Argentina, they knocked him out. He conceded defeat last night to an opponent who claimed he wasn't loyal enough to Trump and his agenda.
It may have cost me an election in this case, but I stand by every one of those decisions to disagree with the president because I didn't think it, at the end of the day, was either concurrent with the promises I made when I first ran for office or the voices of the very people, the first district that I represent.
Jamal, what do you make of this? Is this just a case of loyalty to Trump is what matters most?
Yes. That's exactly what's happening here. I think the Republicans can no longer be considered the conservative party in the United States. They are now the Trumpist party. And that means they own all of what Donald Trump is for, including thinking that white nationalists are very fine people and that Mexicans are rapists and that the Prime Minister of Canada is a backstabber. All of those things are what the Republican Party now stand with. And I think that is going to do them great harm, both in the upcoming elections and in 2020.
But hang on one second. If you were a Democrat, though, Jamal, would you rather be running against a really pro-Trump Republican or somebody who's critical of him?
It is helpful for Democrats to run against pro-Trump Republicans because it's easier to draw the contrast. Okay. But it is not good for the country for that to be the case. We need two parties that both stand up for fundamental American values of freedom and opportunity, not one that is aligned with an authoritarian and the other one that is trying to stand
Alice,
up
get
for
in
America.
There.
Sure. I take exception to painting all Republicans with that same brush that you just painted us with. Because if you remember, Jamal, this week when the president and Peter Navarro, as well as others in the administration, came out so vocally against the Canadian Prime Minister, Senator McCain said, despite what others are saying, Americans stand with you, Canada. And there are many, many Republicans who do want to make sure that our allies understand that we are on their side. And this is something that we need to make sure and convey, not just as a party, but as a country. Well, and the actions of a few and the words of a few don't speak for all Republicans and certainly not all Americans.
But, Alice, you know that so many Republicans are painting John McCain as an outlier or we need to go there, someone who's going to die soon and doesn't count anyway. I mean, that was even said about him. But
in a White House meeting.
In a White House meeting.
That wasn't said somewhere randomly.
But
it was
a
White House meeting.
But wait, I know, Alice, you might want to point out that the far-right Corey Stewart in the Virginia Senate primary was backed by many Republicans to go up against Senator Tim Kaine in the fall. He's a supporter of Confederate symbols, and the Republican Party may not support him. So there are some lines you can't cross.
Well, specifically, we're talking about the Republican National Senatorial Committee and the head of the organization, Senator Cory Gardner. He has been quite vocal with where he stands on this, and he has said he will not endorse Corey Stewart, nor will he provide funding for that race. Their money is much better spent elsewhere. And keep in mind, it was recently where Corey Stewart went over to the NRSC office and spoke ill will of them and virtually said, I don't want your help. I don't want your endorsement. So he's not going to get it, in a large part because of those views that he has held that do not represent and reflect the Republican values with regard to his position on the Confederate flag and other issues.
What's curious about this to me is that all the people who are standing up that Alice rightly points out are people who are part of the national Republican leadership, some of whom are no longer going to be back in Congress, like Senator Corker or Senator Flake. But the people in the Republican Party, the voters in the Republican Party, are not aligning with the people who are trying to be critical and stand up for these values. The voters are saying Donald Trump is the litmus test. Everything else can fall away.
Okay, let's talk about the Democrats finally here. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer began his news conference yesterday saying that while a lot of focus is on North Korea right now, he said Democrats will have a singular focus through the summer, health care.
If you ask the American people, the number one issue they care about, it's health care, not anything else. And we are not going to get diverted. So many millions of American families will pay more in premium increases than any tax break they will get.
Jamal, explain this. Why health care as the focus?
I think Senator Schumer said it the way people read it, which is that if you do polls of voters, voters tell you that health care is a problem. I mean, you look at what the president and his allies have been doing, which is to undermine Obamacare, which is causing disruptions in the marketplace. That is what the Democrats are going to run on. I think they should also be talking about holding President Trump accountable, and they should be talking about standing up for American values that make sure we're not separating mothers and children at the border, which is not something anybody, I think, really supports in the country.
Jamal, we only got a minute left, and I'm going to give it to you, and you're probably not going to be happy, but should former President Bill Clinton get off the stage? He was asked for the second time. He's on a book tour. He was asked about, sexual harassment and whether it's changed since Democrat Al Franken resigned over that, and Bill Clinton didn't after a sexual encounter. He seemed to step in it again. People can Google it. But should he perhaps just exit stage left for a while? What would you advise?
He's going to have to make that decision for himself. But here's the reality. He has got to come up with a way to talk about this that acknowledges the pain that he caused and the distance that we've traveled since his troubles back in the 1990s, because we've all now come to grips with the fact that so many of us men did not handle these things the right way over time.
It's Democratic strategist Jamal Simmons and Republican strategist Alice Stewart. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.